This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. With a climate denier in the White House and a de facto gag order on many federal agencies in place, scientists around the country, many of whom rely on federal funding, are finding themselves increasingly politicized. Rogue tweets from employees of the National Park Service and NASA have revealed a deep frustration among those who advocate for truth and facts. Now, across the country, there is a move afoot to organize a March for Science in Washington, D.C. and many other cities. In fact, as of this recording, the newly formed March for Science Facebook page has garnered nearly a quarter of a million likes in just days. Clearly, there is an appetite for science among the American public. My guest is Gretchen Goldman. She's the research director for the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Welcome to the program, Gretchen.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, of course, you know, there are, of course, many scientists who just don't like to sully themselves with politics. Administrations come and go. But your organization, the Union of Concerned Scientists, has long, taken strong political stands in the public interest based on science. How concerned are you? So you've seen Republican administrations, you've seen Democratic administrations. What does the Trump administration represent? Is it sort of unprecedented in its attacks on things like facts?
Yeah, as you said, my organization, the Union of Concerned Scientists, has been concerned for a long time about different kinds of science policy issues. But what we're seeing now is truly unprecedented. We've seen lots of things happening, and we're only a week into the administration, and we're already seeing science being sidelined. We're seeing federal scientists under a gag order, and this has truly never been a time when there's been so many restrictions so quickly into a new administration, and we're really concerned about where this is going to go.
And, you know, it's kind of sad that we have to kind of discuss even what science is, but I think it is worth just kind of setting that on the stage. It's not, science is not an ideology. I mean, we know things when by using something called the scientific method, we test hypotheses, scientists, you know, review each other's work, and then the work that they build on has day-to-day practical implications, such as the computers that we use and, you know, turn on every day and the way in which you and I are communicating with one another, for example. All of that is a result of generations of work done by scientists using this thing called the scientific method. Science is a thing, and it's sad that we have to say that in this day and age.
It is. As you said, I mean, science is not a partisan issue. It shouldn't be. And the use of science has had really tremendous benefits for this country. And our nation was really founded from the beginning on the idea of using evidence in policymaking. And that's made this country very prosperous. And today we have federal agencies that many of which have science-based missions where they are charged with using science to protect the public health and safety, to deal with national security issues and a host of other things. And I think it's easy to forget just how much we use science to benefit our daily lives. The federal government protects us from, you know, everything from keeping our air and water clean to keeping workers safe on the job, to keeping our food safe from contaminants, to making sure that drugs are safe and effective. It really touches us in all kinds of places.
Right. And, you know, it's important for there to be a sort of basic level of scientific literacy among the public, but especially in a president and members of the government. I mean, we've seen, for example, in President Trump's interpretation of a Pew report on voter fraud, his complete lack of understanding, even a study that showed people were registered in two different states. In his mind, he interpreted that as a voter fraud, even though the study said nothing about people voting in two different states. I mean, so, and that's been revealed in interviews that he did with ABC and other news articles. If he personally cannot even understand a basic study such as that one, that doesn't even require a deep understanding of science, but just requires a basic level of scientific literacy, then it's no surprise, of course, that he is an overt climate change denier, right? And he's spent years telling us that on Twitter, that he thinks it's all a big hoax.
Yeah, he's spent years spreading misinformation about climate science on Twitter. We recently saw some vaccine misinformation come out. And I think, to be clear, of course, presidents are not necessarily going to be scientists, and they're not going to know a ton about nuanced, complex scientific topics. But the important thing is that they trust in science and they rely on experts and other advisors to really help them figure that out. And that's largely how we've built our system, in that there are typically a president will have a science advisor. They'll have a whole office of science and technology policy, which so far this administration has yet to staff, or they've yet to name a science advisor. But there are, there's a tremendous number of scientific experts within government agencies that I hope this administration will utilize to continue to benefit this country.
To basically educate themselves. I mean, it seems as though Trump fits the profile of a conspiracy theorist much better than a public intellectual or someone, just someone with a affinity for things like facts. I mean, with his just determination in the birther conspiracy, the vaccines thing that you brought up, and of course now and climate change. So let's talk about the way in which scientists around the country have been responding. As I mentioned, a lot of scientists rely on federal funding, even if you don't actually work in a directly in a government agency in Washington, D.C. You might work at a university where you get a National Institute of Science grant, or a grant from any number of federal government agencies to do your research, which then in turn benefits the public. Is there a widespread fear among scientists who get federal funding around the country that their grants might be on the chopping block now?
There is. I mean, this is we've seen this is a time when the threats are unprecedented, but I think the mobilization of scientists has also been unprecedented so far. We've seen a lot more attention paid by the scientific community. They're all really watching this administration closely to see what's happening here. And funding is a big area of that. We've seen the administration so far say they are interested in cutting various programs. We saw a pause, at least in the grants contracts that the Environmental Protection Agency gives out. That certainly doesn't bode well for how science funding will be under this administration, and the scientific community is definitely paying attention, including through many scientific societies I know are very focused on this.
Is climate change one of the major underlying issues around all of this? Because, of course, accepting that climate change is real, which something like 90-something percent of climate scientists do, has great ramifications for a massive, massive industry, which is the fossil fuel industry. The Trump has already, picked folks like Rex Tillerson, former ExxonMobil CEO, to head a State Department for. He has not drained the swamp; he's filled it with more snakes. And so it seems as
Yes.
though acknowledging climate change necessarily cuts, of course, into or threatens the profits of the fossil fuel industry, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been a lot of targeting of climate science as a subject area so far. We saw really early on, right, in the transition, we saw them ask about folks at the Department of Energy who worked on climate. They were interested in that specifically. And then since then, as you said, we've seen them very, very focused on that and the work that EPA is doing around climate, and the website's a question of whether or not they would end up going down. Yeah, it seems that climate science, and particularly trying to silence it or ignore it, seems to be a big priority of this administration so far.
Right, EPA, of course, a very important agency, Environmental Protection Agency, traditionally charged with protecting the public from pollution, but in recent years had, at least the Obama administration had attempted to use it as a way to also curb greenhouse gases by trying to designate carbon dioxide as a pollutant, which would, you would think be a fairly obvious thing. And the Republicans have hated that. They've turned the EPA into a major target, and it's no surprise that that's one of the agencies that is probably going to be in some way squashed. It's the voice of people squashed. How dangerous is the gag order? I mean, we should just call it that. There is a gag order currently in place, maybe it's temporary, maybe not, on very specific agencies. And we think, at least it's possible, it's not easy to verify necessarily, but there are people who claim that they're from places like NASA and other National Park Service, et cetera, that are violating that gag order through social media and anonymous accounts, right?
Yeah, it's been a very interesting week. I mean, certainly the gag orders have been very concerning. They've been more extensive and far-reaching than what we've seen under past administration changes. It's certainly been... it doesn't bode well for how this administration is going to treat science and how transparent it's going to be about that communication. And I think an important distinction to make here is that we're not just talking about policy. Administrations, of course, have different policy positions, but they're gagging even the communication of scientific information, which shouldn't be dependent on what administration is in power. And so that's been a really concerning development, that the gag order is being applied to even scientific communications.
Should scientists think about running for office?
They should. And there's an initiative that's taking this on directly. I think certainly we could benefit from having more decision makers that have been trained in scientific studies. And it's been really great, I think, to sort of see there be more interest in this from the scientific community.
There's also this issue of communicating better with the public. And on the issue of climate change, for years it was easy to undermine the science on climate change because scientists, you know, want to use scientifically correct language. So rather than saying it's a thing, climate change is real, you might hear them saying all evidence points to, or all existing, or this percentage of evidence points to. And of course, when you're communicating scientific results for public consumption, you have to know how the public hears those facts. And so I'm wondering if that is also an effort that members of the scientific community are taking on, or have taken on, or feel like they need to take on.
Yeah, I think it's been really different. The scientific community has really been awakened by this administration and what it's doing. I think especially the younger generation of scientists is really interested in thinking about getting outside of the lab and communicating their research to the public and to the media and to decision makers in ways that we hadn't really seen a generation ago. And so it's really been a game changer, I think, in terms of science community's engagement in the policy space and really thinking about how science should be informing the decisions that we make as a country.
Right. And scientists, you know, they're a smart bunch and found ways around these sorts of things before. I mean, right in literally in the days before the Trump administration took power, there were reports of hackers frantically gathering data from the science pages of the White House website and archiving it. And lo and behold, many of those pages did disappear the day the Trump administration took power. Did you hear about these efforts? I mean, it reminds me of archaeologists in Iraq, you know, striving to save important historical artifacts from fundamentalist militant groups.
Yeah, I thought it was really great to see scientists mobilize around that issue of saving the data and making sure that we had this this crucial information available for research even after the Obama administration was done. I mean,
and this is information that we funded, right? Taxpayers paid for this data.
Right.
It's ours.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it sort of sent a strong signal to this administration that this won't go unnoticed, right? That the scientific community is watching and it's thinking about how to push back and making sure that these kinds of suppression of scientific information won't stand.
What do you make of the announced March for Science? I don't know if the Union of Concerned Scientists is at all involved in that effort. I mentioned the Facebook page as of this recording has nearly 250,000 likes, and they haven't even figured out, you know, how to articulate the mission yet because it's such early days. So this is huge hunger from, it seems as though, the American public to support science, and this March for Science might be a really big deal.
Yeah, it's been really fantastic to see that just snowball so quickly. And already it's gotten media, it's gotten attention from members of Congress. We're seeing that really ramp up. The Union of Concerned Scientists is definitely paying attention to how that progresses. And I think it could be a really strong event. And it's really incredible to see the scientific community already so ready for that kind of action. My organization, of course, works with scientists on policy issues and has for a very long time. But the level of interest that we've seen in the past few weeks has really just been unprecedented, even for within our space. It's really just been incredible to see.
Finally, Gretchen, the Union of Concerned Scientists, your organization has a strategy that you are identifying, and you call it the Alt-Control-Delete strategy in the era
Yeah.
of Trump. Tell us about that, and also give out the website where people can find more information about the work you do.
Sure. So you can find us at ucsusa.org and check us out. We were founded in 1969 and have since evolved to deal with a whole bunch of science policy issues. I'm in the Center for Science and Democracy there, where we think about a lot of things we've been talking about, which is scientific integrity and access to scientific information from public web pages and engagement of the scientific community and the public on issues of how science informs decisions. And so what we're really seeing this administration start to do is that they're really attempting to control the message. They're trying to develop alternative storylines and news, however unfactual that might be. And they're starting to try to erase what's already out there, trying to remove the scientific information that's on government web pages, trying to keep federal scientists quiet, it seems so far. And so this is really happening at a scale that we hadn't seen before. But I think, as you said, it's really important to note what sort of time we live in now, where it's really difficult to control the message, and that there are rogue social media accounts that have popped up that appear to be from federal scientists. And there's now alternative web pages that are hosting all of the climate data that used to be on the EPA's site or is there for now. And so I think that it's getting a lot harder for administrations to control the message, even if it wants to. And so it's really been a new era. And so we'll see how well they're going to be able to do this control alt delete strategy.
Gretchen, I wish you the best of luck. You've got your work cut out for you under Trump, and hopefully the public will step in to support all the work that you do. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
My guest is Gretchen Goldman, Research Director for the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/ruwithsonali.